The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
But now our country has been brought to its knees. The American dream is being torn to shreds, and we will not have a country left if this economic, social, and attack on civilization itself is not quickly reversed. And yet, there is time for us to bring America back from the brink. It's at the brink. In Democrat-run cities, Democrat-run states, and a Democrat-run federal government, the criminals have been given free rein more than ever before. We're living in such a different country for one primary reason. There is no longer respect for the law, and there certainly is no order. Our country is now a cesspool of crime. We have blood, death, and suffering on a scale once unthinkable because of the Democrat Party's effort to destroy and dismantle law enforcement all throughout America. It has to stop, and it has to stop now. Because you'd actually say, look, these are smart people. They don't get there without being intelligent people. They must know. The only other thing you could say is they hate our country. And I don't know. It's hard to believe they hate our country. But a lot of people say they hate our country. It's the only reason they'd allow things like this to happen. Because just from a common sense standpoint, how can you allow it to happen? So where does it stop? Where does it end? It probably doesn't stop, because despite great outside dangers, our biggest threat in this country remains the sick, sinister, and evil people from within. This is just a crazy time. Never forget, everything this corrupt establishment is doing to me is all about preserving their power and control over the American people. They want to damage you in any form, but they really want to damage me so I can no longer go back to work for you. And the problem we have is we have that the fake news media is corrupt and complicit. If I renounced my beliefs, if I agreed to stay silent, if I stayed at home and just took it easy, the persecution of Donald Trump would stop immediately. It would stop. But that's not what I will do. I can't do that. A much simpler life. I have to save our country.
I think it's in Great Again, my father's booklet, where he makes the point that Donald Trump does a really good job of identifying the many problems that we're facing, all of this evil. And Americans see it, and many of them are being touched by it, the crime, the violence. And there was the former president, the actual legitimate president, Donald Trump, in Washington, D.C. for the America First Policy Institute speech. It went on for 90 minutes, and there he was exposing so much of the evil and the crime and the violence that we see happening all over the nation. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is The Trumpet Daily. We certainly appreciate you joining our growing audience. You can get to the live audio stream of this show through CRN Digital Talk Radio. That's Channel 3 on their platform. On our platform, that would be thetrumpet.com. You can get to the live video stream. That's thetrumpet.com. That's the front page. You can also see a little box there for The Trumpet Daily and also my father's Key of David program. But if you go to thetrumpet.com/live, that takes you to the live stream page every day in the Central Time Zone of the United States, 11 a.m. We're live from this studio most of the time. Sometimes we have some subs that fill in for us. Yesterday, I was in the Wichita Mountains in southwest Oklahoma with some of our campers. So still nice and warm, but a beautiful part. I didn't even know Oklahoma had big ravines and mountainous territory. They're not Rocky Mountains or the size of the Rocky Mountains by any means, but it's a beautiful area down there. And all the gals left this morning for the 2.5 day camp out, so they switched places with the guys who are now back on campus. So in any event, that's why Sam filled in yesterday. We'll actually cover some of the subjects that he got into on yesterday's program, so hopefully it won't come across too repetitive. But in any event, the live stream of this show, thetrumpet.com/live, you can also get to the programs like Mr. Livingston's from yesterday, posted after the fact if you'd like to catch up on your TD viewing. You know, yesterday, that was the first time that Donald Trump returned to Washington, D.C. since he left the day that the communists completed the steal, January of last year. And it's interesting, isn't it? If you just contrast that with Antiochus, Barack Obama has been in D.C. I think he first won the race for senator from Illinois in 2004. And, of course, as you know, if you know some of the history, he was a senator just for a few years before he then became the president of the United States. He finished all that in 2017 and then didn't leave Washington, D.C. In fact, he's still in D.C. today. Barack Hussein Obama has been entrenched in the D.C. swamp for 18 years. 18 years. Donald Trump was there for his four-year presidency, and that's it. And then he left. He left. He went to Mar-a-Lago, and they're still attacking him. It's unbelievable. I mean, as I've said so many times, Satan's fingerprints are all over this. And now you have this Washington Post, this breaking news yesterday that Merrick Garland, oh yeah, he's looking into criminal behavior from Donald Trump because he contested the election. And I should have pulled it for today's clips, but I sent Sam a short clip of Mike Pence 2 days before January 6th, the January 6th protest, when Mike Pence said, hey, I promise you, we're going to look into all of the election irregularities. And how quickly their tune changed. As soon as there's a protest gone awry, and of course it was Ray Epps and company that incited it, the FBI and the DOJ, they were behind it. They wanted a so-called insurrection because that's how they could cover up the steal. And so now we're 18 months into this. Now, if you even suggest that it was stolen, well, you're an insurrectionist. And so they go after Donald Trump. Even as Antiochus, he's been a faithful member of the D.C. swamp for 18 years. He finishes his two terms in 2017. He doesn't leave. He does not leave the D.C. swamp. It's because he's running the show. That's why. He's the one that handpicked Joe Biden. He's the puppet master. He handpicked Kamala Harris. The one who told us yesterday that she wears a blue suit. At least yesterday she did. And she's a woman. Did you know this? Very helpful information at the start of her speech. She identifies as a woman. She goes by what? She and her. And she's wearing a blue suit. I was just waiting for her to say she was wearing a mask as well. Because now the masks go back on. Because Joe Biden has the COVID. So we're back to wearing. We've come full circle, you see. You can't make this up. The United States is under attack, as our booklet aptly points out. America under attack. And it's coming from the D.C. swamp, headed up by Barack Obama. Donald Trump, he reappears in D.C. yesterday for the first time. And, oh, by the way, Fox News, they're not going to carry that speech. No. They've got more important things to cover, like, hey, we want someone other than Biden, but it can't be Trump. That's Fox News today. We just have to say goodbye to Donald Trump. He's too much of a polarizing figure. They're more on the side of Obama and Merrick Garland, Merrick Garland, who's issuing threats. He knows what this would do to the country. He knows, Barack Obama knows, if they indict Donald Trump, that's going to be a bridge too far for a lot of Americans. But do they want it? Do they want civil war? Do they want to see the country go up in flames? They're attacking the country, even now. The first shots of this civil war have been fired, politically speaking. You know, we've talked about the resurgence, the Jeroboam-led resurgence, and how this is God's way of giving us one last opportunity to turn to him in repentance. But you know, when you see the evil spearheaded by Antiochus, I mean, there's also a powerful lesson in that as well. I went through this quote this morning in the forum here at camp. Mr. Armstrong talked about a world in revolt. He was talking about that back in the early 1980s. Now, what we're seeing now is, as it says in Daniel 8 and verse 23, the transgressors are come to the full. They're just everywhere. They're everywhere. They're in the FBI. I think it was the FBI's 114th birthday yesterday. And they proudly, hey, look, it's our birthday and we've done so much good for the United States of America. And the feedback underneath, the comments from ordinary Americans pointing out the hypocrisy, the double standard, the vile filth coming from that organization as they protect criminals and go after law-abiding citizens. We've come a long way since it was established. The FBI, the Federal Bureau of Investigations, and they can't even get Ray Epps. They can't go after him because he's one of them. So they go after Donald Trump instead. They go after the real estate mogul. They go after the one who had a pretty successful presidency by just about any standard. They hate him because he exposed the swamp. He exposed the evil. He exposed these government bureaucrats, these unelected bureaucrats that hate America, as you heard there in the montage. They hate it. They hate democracy. They hate the Constitution. This quote from Missing Dimension in Sex says, "But before we leave the world scene of the 80s, bear in mind the present world in revolt is in rebellion against much more than pre-20th century sex repression, and the modern downward spiral of humanity involves a much wider area than sex alone. It says, today the family structure of Western life is endangered by much more than illicit and promiscuous sex. It says here, along with the modern sex rampage, listen to this, the sex rampage of adolescence has come other addictions that titillate, arouse, stimulate, and please the physical senses. It says, accompanying sexual indulgence has come in teen life, alcohol, drugs, tobacco, pornography, gangsterism, violence. It says, they look for every pleasing, stimulating sensation. Now, Donald Trump concentrated more on crime yesterday in his speech. We have an article going up on the Trumpet website here today about the curse of youth violence. I mentioned that example on Monday's show. These teenagers that beat this 73-year-old man to death for no good reason. Not that there is a good reason. They just did it because they wanted to. They look for any pleasing, stimulating sensation. It's fun to be violent. There was an image the other day of these two just pummeling police officers in the subway system. And they do that because they can get away with it now. This is Biden's America. This is Obama's America. They want the violence. Well, the more violence there is, the more they can go after your guns if you're a law-abiding citizen. You see how it works? So they won't do anything about the crime epidemic. You learn a lot by just seeing the kinds of things that they love to promote. I'm Kamala Harris. I identify by her and she. I'm wearing a blue suit. Basically what she's saying is, you are an idiot. because you're not as woke as me. You see what they love, what they promote. And then on the other hand, look at what they hate. Look at what really bothers them. I mean, they can smell the smelly Walmart shopping Trump voters from miles away. They hate it. Oh, they hate it. Says a lot about them, doesn't it? And then Trump comes along, gives a speech about crime, of all things. And Fox News says, don't have time for that. No, no, no. He's old news. They want him to go away. As I've said, you see more and more these two movements. In your Bible, they're referred to as the Jeroboam movement. And then, of course, you've got Antiochus. Antiochus in D.C. for 18 years. Wow. Listen to this from Trump's speech yesterday, clip 12.
Right now, these next few years, our country will decide whether we are going to allow a corrupt and radical ruling class to snuff out the torch of liberty, or whether we will resist the forces of decay and raise that torch higher and prouder than ever to enlighten and inspire the entire world. We can do that. Together, we're standing up against some of the most menacing forces, entrenched interests, and vicious opponents our people have ever seen or confronted.
Viciousness on a mass scale. And we've got to confront it, says Donald Trump. Sam mentioned that Senator Grassley letter that he sent off to AG Garland and also the FBI director, Chris Wray. And I mean, he named names. He brought the receipts. He named the name. The the propagandists in the DOJ? That's right. That's right. They covered up the Hunter Biden laptop. The Biden crime family laptop, which reveals that these individuals of powerful political influence, they sold their influence to America's enemies, to China and other nations. And you have deep state actors, and Grassley names them. You have deep state actors that spread the propaganda. That's Russian disinformation. Who can forget all of these intelligence officials? Many of them that worked for Barack Hussein Obama. He's been in D.C. for 18 years. All of these intelligence officials that signed off and said, yeah, this is classic Russian disinformation. I mean, I would know. I used to be an intelligence official. Some of them are currently high-ranking officials in the deep state. And they said, this laptop, it's not Hunter's. It's Russia's. It's Vladimir Putin's. It's fake. And Grassley reveals this week that it wasn't some political operative. It wasn't somebody with the Hillary campaign or the Biden campaign that spread that disinformation. It was the FBI. The FBI. Happy birthday to us. We're the FBI. Remember when Sean Hannity used to say, it's just the leadership that's corrupt. The rank and file, the tens of thousands in the rank and file level. Well, at least there's a few, not to get ahead of myself, the rank and file, so many of them, they're corrupt too. Congratulations at least to the few whistleblowers, and there's more than one, that have contacted Grassley and said, hey, we spread that disinformation. There are people in the FBI who spread that disinformation. So now you have the Federal Bureau of Investigations spreading disinformation, targeting political opponents, and see you see them bringing that same spirit to the January 6th committee or to the prosecutions of the January 6th protesters. You see them sending FBI agents into the protest. Well, they're just informants. They're just reporting back to the Home Office. No, no, no. No, they're out front saying, we need to go into the Capitol. We need to go. That's where the problem is. And they worked in tandem with the Capitol Hill police, who opened the door and said, hey, come on in. Come on in. And then the theater. Hey, everybody's got to evacuate. we've got to get out. This is an insurrection. And thankfully, I don't know, you probably remember where you were when you first saw the Josh Hawley video. Who can forget? For me, it was like 9/11. I knew exactly what I was doing when the buildings came down, where I was, what time of the day it was. Same thing with Josh Hawley, the jog. He was jogging through the Capitol. This is the big reveal. This shows you motivation on the part of these corrupt deep state actors, doesn't it? Their goal in releasing this is just to embarrass Hawley. Because Hawley now, he incited the insurrection, right? And then this video is meant to show us or to tell us that Hawley incited the insurrection. And then like a little scared fraidy cat, he ran from the protesters because they were so violent. No, they weren't violent. The one that was violent is the police officer that shot Ashley Babbitt in the neck. And just this morning, you continue to hear this line. Well, I'll play you a clip from Joe Biden here in just a second. They got him out of the sick bed, which they should have left him in, by the way, because he looks terrible. There's a lot of problems here. Here's Donald Trump looking fresh, healthy, giving a common sense, no-nonsense speech in D.C. He's returning for the first. I mean, that in itself is news. That is newsworthy. Now, I don't know how much the commentators last night referred to the speech. I assume they at least referred to it or maybe played a clip or two. But why doesn't Fox carry it live or at least a part of it live? Here's the former president of the United States. He's the subject of the January 6th committee. He's still going to rallies and getting tens of thousands of people to show up. He's returning to D.C. for the first time since he was booted out by the insurrectionists last year. Not the January 6th ones, the Barack Obama ones. He returns to D.C. and Fox says, we don't have time for that. That's not newsworthy. That's not newsworthy at all. But coming back to the FBI, in 2016, just to give you an idea about the slippery slope this lawless corruption is on, in 2016, it was the Clinton campaign digging up all of that dirt, the dirty dossier, and they're feeding it to the FBI. They're feeding it to BuzzFeed. They're feeding it to the news media. And the FBI, they swallowed it. Even though many of them knew it was bogus disinformation, they helped the media. They helped the Hillary campaign. Peter Strzok, Lisa Page, Jim Comey, John Brennan, James Clapper, they helped Barack Obama. And Barack Obama fueled the disinformation by triggering this phony investigation that revealed just days before Donald Trump comes into office that the Russians, they were behind the 2016 election. They did help Donald Trump steal it. That's what they were saying 2 seconds ago. And now if you dare say it, if you say it with respect to 2020, you really should be in jail. You're the insurrectionist. So Barack Obama, it was a political hit job, and the Barack Obama's FBI, they just ran with it. Used it, got the FISA courts to get on board with the secret wiretapping that they said was not wiretapping initially, but then they had to come around and say, well, yeah, we did spot. Well, hey, but he was a Russian agent. And so they continued this, not once, not twice, every 3 months, four times. Going into the FISA court, holding up the dirty dossier, saying, hey, we need to spy on Trump. And they did. They sure did. And then all the whistleblowers coming forward. Yeah, he had a phone call. He had a phone call to the president of Ukraine. And now Merrick Garland, to top it off, and this won't even be the end of it, but to top it off this week, we actually are investigating Donald Trump. But now we find out, thanks to a few whistleblowers and Chuck Grassley, now we find out that it wasn't Chris Steele coming forward with this disinformation, saying that the Hunter laptop was bogus. It wasn't Hillary Clinton. It wasn't a political operative. It was the FBI. Wow. So going back to the way Donald Trump campaigned in 2015 and 16, when he talked about the dirty swamp, when he talked about draining the swamp, here again, like my father says in Great Again, he does a pretty good job of identifying the evil, and this is why they hate him so much. Listen again. I think Sam played this for you yesterday, but listen again to Maria Bartiromo. She's on with Miranda Devine earlier this week about this explosive, grassly letter that he sent, keep in mind, to Merrick Garland and Chris Wray at the FBI. This is clip 7.
You know, this is interesting that now we're getting word from Chuck Grassley that these whistleblowers say that the FBI labeled verified evidence that you uncovered, that the Senate uncovered, Grassley and Johnson uncovered, and they labeled it disinformation. Maybe that's why 50 intelligence officials lied and signed their name to a letter calling it all disinformation right before the 2020 election.
This is really a breakthrough, and it does look like a concerted scheme to keep the derogatory Hunter Biden information, which was derogatory to Joe Biden, one of the candidates for president back then, out of public view, to stop the senators Chuck Grassley and Ron Johnson, who were becoming very, very close to some of this information, to stop them from inquiring, to cover up for the Bidens, and to obstruct any journalist reporting or Chuck Grassley and Ron Johnson doing their investigation. This letter from Chuck Grassley is really just bombshell after bombshell. He's named two FBI officials, Tim Tebolt and Brian Oaten, and he's pointed the finger squarely at them, and he has asked for Christopher Wray and for Merrick Garland to do something about cleaning out the corruption in their ranks.
So Tebolt and Oaten, add them to a long line of treasonous agents, including Peter Strzok, Lisa Page. Who was it? The Orr fella? Is it Daniel Orr? There's Comey. There's Brennan. All those people that signed this sworn statement. This is Russia disinformation. Pure and simple. It has to be. Grassley said in his letter, there was a scheme in place among certain FBI officials to undermine derogatory information connected to Hunter Biden by falsely suggesting it was disinformation. They covered this up, everything that's on that laptop. Much of it has now been revealed. And the New York Times even admitted recently that it was Hunter's. But they covered all of that up. And meanwhile, as of this moment, Merrick Garland, he's out there bragging, or at least through the Washington Post, that, yeah, we're investigating Trump because he believes the election was stolen. Notice this tweet from, it's interesting, isn't it? This is coming out, the Grassley letter, right as this is coming out. Right as America Under Attack. We're just a week or so away from receiving our first print run of America Under Attack. Pretty exciting for this work. But these people that were behind the Trump-Russia collusion hoax, here again, working alongside Hillary Clinton's people. Now we learn from Grassley's letter this week that they actually were the instigators of propaganda, of disinformation, by calling the Hunter laptop, the Biden crime family laptop, that's really what we should call it, by calling that Russian disinformation. This is your FBI. Happy birthday. Happy birthday to the FBI. I mean, it's just overt treasonous action on display every single day. That's what we're seeing. And look, if you go back to the first version of AUA, it was all laid out there for us in 2013, almost 10 years ago. Listen to this tweet from commentator Jesse Kelly. It's like more and more you see messages like this, and they come right out from this not directly quoted, but it's the same message. It's the same content. Jesse Kelly says, so much of where we are now is because Barack Obama spent 8 years packing every level of government with communist subversives and saboteurs. He put all the pieces in place. They kneecapped Trump's presidency from within, and now they're Biden's hatchet men. You would not have read that even 3-4 years ago. Now you see comments like this all the time. Barack Hussein Obama heading up the deep state for eight, at least directly from DC, for 18 years. He's been a DC resident. He's been a full-fledged member of the DC swamp. And here comes this commentator saying he's the one that put all the pieces in place. See, they didn't expect Trump to win in 2016. But when he did, I mean, the hatchet men came out. They came out from the FBI. They came out from the intelligence community. They came out from the Obama administration, all of Hillary's people. They came out from the New York Times. They came out from the Washington Post. It's just a nonstop attack. Attack against, really, America. Grassley says, the concurrent opening of Auten's assessment, the efforts by the FBI headquarters team and the efforts by the FBI to provide an unnecessary briefing to me and Senator Johnson that provided our Democratic colleagues fodder to falsely accuse us of advancing foreign disinformation draws serious concern. These corrupt actors in the FBI, these treasonous agents, they came forward to warn Congress about Hunter Biden's laptop, saying it was disinformation. You got to be careful, senators. You don't want to be fueling Russian disinformation. And this gave the radical communists in Congress all the ammunition they needed to go after Senator Johnson, to go after Senator Grassley. And now Grassley's calling them out on this, as he should. Grassley says, if these allegations are true and accurate, the Justice Department and FBI are and have been institutionally corrupted to their very core, to the point in which the United States Congress and the American people will have no confidence in the equal application of the law. That's where it is for many Americans. They have absolutely no confidence in the current system of justice, or as I often call it, the Department of Injustice in the swamp. And this is why. You talk about a total lack of self-awareness. The FBI comes out and pats itself on the back saying, happy birthday to us. And the nonstop comments, you're corrupt. You guys are lawless. You're on the side of the criminal. And on it goes. Is America under attack? It certainly is. And you, if you're a faithful reader of the Trumpet magazine, you've known this for going on a decade. Listen again to this exchange with Bartiromo and Miranda Devine, clip 8.
It's an enormous scandal, and it's really so incredibly disappointing that we cannot even trust the FBI. Because let's remember, Miranda, they had that laptop as the Democrats were trying to impeach President Trump over a phone call that he had with the head of Ukraine. All the while, they had that information on the laptop about all the money that Hunter Biden was receiving from Ukraine by being on the board of Burisma. Yes. And all the while, during the whole impeachment trial, the FBI had the laptop and stayed silent. We heard it throughout the Russia collusion lie. They were totally complicit. Exactly. They knew that the Russia collusion and the dossier was fake and made up. I know that for a fact. They had Igor Danchenko tell them that in January of 2017, saying, oh, yeah, we were drinking beers. We made it up. It was all embellished. And yet they still pursued FISA warrants on Trump officials. When did they go so rogue, the FBI, so much so that America cannot trust the FBI?
I mean, we know that under James Comey, they were completely rogue. Who knows how long the rot has been going on for? What we do know is that the Trump era certainly exposed them. A whole lot of cockroaches came scurrying out from under rocks. And now we have links between the people who are covering up the Hunter Biden information and the Russia hoax story that the FBI was complicit in. That is what the whistleblowers are telling Chuck Grassley. And look, you know, thank goodness for that, because at last we are seeing the dam is bursting. There obviously are patriots inside the FBI who are now willing to come forward. Multiple whistleblowers have come forward to Chuck Grassley. This makes the country less safe. We're paying $10 billion a year plus for the services of the FBI. And at present, all we can see is that they are going after good Americans and protecting bad Americans.
Wow. The FBI, they're going after good Americans and protecting the bad ones? You mean they're going after the law-abiding citizens and protecting the criminals? Yes, they are. Donald Trump's presidency exposed them. If you want to just meditate for a moment on how strong this spirit of lawlessness is, particularly in the swamp, just think about the fact that when the FBI was spreading disinformation, saying the Biden crime family laptop was not real, that it was Russian disinformation, Bill Barr was the attorney general. Bill Barr headed up the Department of Justice in the United States of America. And Bill Barr, the book tour Bill Barr, the more recent Bill Barr, he admitted that the scandal covering up the Biden crime family laptop, that scandal swung the election in the direction of Biden. Well, it's awfully convenient for you to admit this now. But what did you do, Mr. Barr, when you were the Attorney General of the United States? How come you didn't blow the lid off of this propaganda campaign coming out of your FBI? You were the chief law enforcement officer of the United States, and he did nothing. He helped to, by his inaction, he helped to cover it up. The truth about Hunter's laptop. By his inaction, he helped to cover up the truth about the election steal. Barack Obama. There's no, it's the same with Peter Strzok. Remember the email or the text message exchange says, yeah, Obama wants to know everything that we're doing here. These were not rogue agents. Auden and Thibault are not rogue agents. They're not operating on an island somewhere. They're embedded members of the DC swamp. Career bureaucrats, agents at the FBI, spreading disinformation to deceive America, to continue the lying, the cheating, the stealing. Well, perhaps the dam is bursting. We'll see. Well, in fact, we know that's one of the reasons that this is coming out this summer, because God is exposing the devil's handiwork. God is exposing Satan and his demon army like never before. All of this revelation, the Grassley letter, comes out at the time that America Under Attack comes out as well. I mentioned Joe Biden, his speech earlier this week, and just the many, this is an example, a short one at that, of just the many clips and cuts and edits that they had to make to try to present this man, the fake illegitimate president, to try to make him look like he's strong and healthy. And I don't think they quite pulled it off. This is clip 3.
This law does so much more. It saves lives, including yours. It'll help you do your job. But it's just a start. Last week, I rolled out my Safer America plan with the goal of doing 3 key things. First, take additional common sense steps to reduce gun crimes and violence.
Does not look well. And his approval ratings, as you well know, very much in the toilet. Quinnipiac, it says here, one of the 1.5 years since President Joe Biden took office, Americans give President Biden a negative 31 to 60% job approval rating, the lowest score of his presidency, according to Quinnipiac, is how you pronounce that, sorry. He's breaking records in the wrong direction, in other words. But coming back to his COVID speech, following right on the heels of the cancer speech last week, here's what he said yesterday about Donald Trump. He's the problem. This is clip two.
Then on January 6th, we relied on law enforcement to save our democracy. We saw what happened. The Capitol Police, the D.C. Metropolitan Police, other law enforcement agencies were attacked and assaulted before our very eyes, speared, sprayed, stomped on, brutalized, and lives were lost. And for 3 hours, the defeated former president of the United States watched it all happen as he sat in the comfort of the private dining room next to the Oval Office. While he was doing that, brave law enforcement officer subject to the medieval hell for 3 hours, dripping in blood, surrounded by carnage, face to face with crazed mob that believed the lies of a defeated president. The police were heroes that day. Donald Trump lacked the courage to act. The brave women and men in blue all across this nation should never forget that. You can't be pro-insurrection and pro-cop. You can't be pro-insurrection and pro-democracy. You can't be pro-insurrection and pro-American.
In other words, you can't support Donald Trump and be pro-American. There he is, the fake president, as I say, not looking or sounding very well at all. And what better image to typify all the problems that Donald Trump identified in America in his speech yesterday than the current occupant of the White House? Listen again to Donald Trump from his D.C. speech that Fox News didn't want to cover yesterday, clip 11.
Because the one good thing about what's happened, they've performed so badly, we'll be able to get the job done in an even stronger and faster manner than had we not witnessed this carnage that's going on in our country right now. That's a good thing.
That's the fact that it's so bad, as he said yesterday, it does allow for us to come back stronger and faster, because look at what they've done. They're responsible for the carnage, says Donald Trump. Joe Biden, for his part, is talking about the carnage on January 6th. Where was the carnage on the 6th? Are you talking about the police officer that shot Ashley Babbitt? Speared and stomped on, carnage, blood. That's how they described 4 hours on January the 6th, even as they stood by and watched actual carnage for 3 months in the summer of 2020, encouraged it, in fact. Helped the ones that were responsible for it to get out of jail free. Paid their bail in the case of Kamala Harris. What's black is white, what's up is down. This is the kind of attack that America is under. What did the president say? They've done so poorly, they've performed so badly, that we'll be able to get the job done in an even stronger and faster manner. Listen to Biden's, I forget who this, it's a niece or Reese, I think it is, an economic advisor, tell you that after two quarters in decline, America's not in a recession at all. This is just a good transition for the country. Clip six.
As Secretary Yellen said on Sunday, two negative quarters of GDP growth is not the technical definition of recession. It's not the definition that economists have traditionally relied on.
So as soon as the U.S. enters into recession, they come out and redefine the word recession. Starting with Secretary Yellen, and then this spokesperson, he comes with the same message. This is a transition. We heard that all last year, remember? It's a little bit of inflation, but we're just transitioning to a better world with green energy, renewable energy, a perfect world under Joe Obama. So the recession sets in, 9-10% inflationary rate, And here they come to tell you, just like they do with all the polls. Hey, listen, Jack. They're all going to vote for me. Never mind what Quinnipiac says or any of the other polls. I could have gone through a whole list of them with you. Associated Press, it says, by one common definition, the economy shrinking for consecutive quarters, the U.S. economy is on the cusp of recession. Even there, they're trying to cover for it. It says, yet this definition isn't the one that counts. See, they got a cover. They've got a cover for Paul Krugman. He's the economic expert at the New York Times. Ignore the two-quarter rule. We might have a recession, but we aren't in one now. It's perfect now. All that they're focusing on, as far as the economy goes, is the fact that gas prices have come down 50 cents. Now they take credit for that. When it was skyrocketing, it was Putin. But now that it's come back down 50 cents, then it's Biden. Listen, I mentioned this already, but listen to the vice president. Here's a woman who fancies herself as the vice president of the United States, and this is how she led off a discussion yesterday at the White House, clip four.
Good afternoon. I want to welcome these leaders for coming in to have this very important discussion about some of the most pressing issues of our time. I am Kamala Harris. My pronouns are she and her. I am a woman sitting at the table wearing a blue suit.
And people are going to take her more seriously now after she's made this declaration, forgetting, by the way, to mention that she's also wearing a mask, a black mask. This is the vice president of the United States, a complete and total embarrassment. What must they be thinking behind closed doors in Beijing, in Moscow, in Tehran, as they hear the vice president of the United States reassure everyone that she is in fact a woman, or rather that she identifies as a woman. Last week, I think it was, the University of Pennsylvania nominated this man who's beaten all of the female swimmers. The school, the university nominated the man as woman of the year. You can't make this up. You cannot make this up. Those kinds of people are given a lot of airtime all across the board. But Donald Trump comes in, talks about crime, running rampant, how that the U.S. is turning into a beggar nation, how that we're on our knees. And there's this concerted effort to blot that out. Anthony Fauci, he said yesterday that he never recommended locking anything down. Can you believe that? You talk about the spread of disinformation. You talk about the lies daily. Listen to this one statement from yesterday. That's at the top of this montage. And then hear what he said just 2 years ago. Clip nine.
First of all, I didn't recommend locking anything down. I
recommended to the president that we shut the country down. And that was a very difficult decision because I knew it would have serious economic consequences, which it did. But there was no way to stop the explosive spread that we knew would occur if we didn't do that. And unfortunately, since we actually did not shut down completely the way China did, the way Korea did, the way Taiwan did, we actually did see spread even though we shut down.
He recommended shutting down the nation, the country. He's there 2 years ago saying we should have done it. We should have done a hard lockdown like China did. And because we did not do that, the virus spread. And then yesterday, what does he say? The commentator, by the way, was saying, you know, we now know all of the side effects, the lockdowns at schools, for example. Do you regret recommending that everything be locked down? Well, first of all, you should know that I didn't recommend locking anything down. Nothing. He was grilled on Sunday by Brett Baer. This is his take on the Wuhan lab leak. on whether or not, here we are, we're still debating, at least with him, whether or not it was man-made. He can't even come out and say, now that the evidence is in, look, we got it wrong in 2020, but at least we now know and we've learned from our mistakes. Listen to him defend an indefensible position. This is clip 15.
I mean, Dr. Fauci, just to be honest, when you read those, when you read those emails, it does not sound like you have an open mind. When you read the email from Kirsten Anderson, who says the unusual features of the virus make up a real small part of the genome, and one has to look really closely at the sequences to see that some features look engineered, and you say this is a shiny object and it'll go away, it does not sound like you're open-minded to it.
Brett, I know you're a good person. I know you a long time.
But they're the same people that are getting funded by you, getting money from you. And they published a piece called The Proximal Origin of SARS in the Natural Medicine.
Right.
Did you help edit that piece?
No, I did not.
Okay. But this is where it's going. And you know that there's a Senator Paul and others are calling for you to testify.
Oh, yeah.
And will you?
But let me tell you, that'll be fine. Because what you need to do, Brett, I know you're better than this.
You know, he says, look, we now know it came out from that that Wuhan lab. And Dr. Fauci said, well, we don't know that for sure. It's kind of like the Jim Comey response. Well, I mean, maybe it didn't happen specifically, but it could have. That's the thing. It could have. It could have happened. It might have happened. These are the experts that are currently in control. The ones that, as Donald Trump said yesterday, that we've got to fight against. We've got to fight back. We've got to stand up for America. We've got to stand up for freedom. We've got to stand up for truth. Sam says we have the clip, but since we're only a couple minutes from the end, instead move ahead to this is the White House doctor. He's looking after Joe Biden during his bout with COVID and cancer. And here he is yesterday, I believe, maybe the day before, telling us basically about just how strong the position of the U.S. government is with respect to fighting COVID. This is clip 14.
What I think every American needs to hear, what the president laid out, is that while we have a very contagious variant out there, thanks to this president's leadership, we have the ability to manage this. We are now at a point, I believe, where we can prevent nearly every COVID death in America. That is a remarkable fact. So if you are vaccinated but have not gotten a booster, this is a really good time to go and get a booster.
I mean, that is a remarkable fact. They are in such a strong position, says the White House doctor, looking after the health of the current occupant of the White House, Joe Biden, who has COVID, who said he had cancer last week, who talked about having asthma in April, who's on all kinds of medication. You look at a video of him this week. Take it from us. This is a man who is, he's medicated. Let's just put it that way. He's on a lot of, I read to you the New York Post article last Friday, all the medication that they had to take him off for his heart, for blood thinning and that sort of thing, so that they can get him on Paxlovid. And then this man comes out and says, we have never been in a stronger position to prevent every single COVID death. Every single one. You can't make this up, can you? What is it, Daniel 8 and verse 23 says? And in the latter time of their kingdom, when the transgressors are come to the full, a king of fierce countenance and understanding dark sentences shall stand up. It all, you see, we open the door to this kind of an attack because of the transgressions. The transgressors are come to the full. And so that opens the way for Antiochus. And there he is in Washington, D.C. He's been there not since he left office in 2017. He, going back to his career as a senator, he's been in the D.C. swamp for nearly two decades. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is The Trumpet Daily. If you'd like to submit some feedback to the show, you can email us, td@thetrumpet.com. We thank you for joining us on today's show, and we'll see you tomorrow.